You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Well, and we are back with Joanna Farrar and talking about the album Liminal Paths.
Yes, it is. It is wonderful to be back, and I appreciate the time.
So let's dive back into the album. And now we're getting into pretty much the pattern of the rest of the album. And that is a pattern of going back and forth between songs written by you and then sets of music, which often will include songs by you. And this next one is a song, and this is Come With Me. And this is sort of a theme that's going to be in a couple songs, and that is really thinking of mysticism and mythology, incorporating those elements into human emotions and human actions. Could you talk a little bit about Come With Me?
Sure. This is a song that, so I wrote it, I wrote the lyrics for it, and the melody came with it at the same time. Many years ago, it is loosely based on a folk story I heard long ago about a story of a young girl who goes to the ocean, to the beach, and she's heartbroken. And the folk story goes that essentially a Selkie, or somebody who is a sort of like king figure from the depths, comes to her and offers, you know, to make her his bride. And the story that I remember, and I've never actually been able to track down the original version of the story that I heard, because it was so long ago, it was when I was a kid, includes the sort of idea that it's not ever certain whether she actually, sadly, this is just a way of her sort of ending her life, or whether this is really something that mystically happened. There are plenty of stories in mythology about, you know, kings under the waves and kings of the ocean that come up to take human brides and things of that nature. And there is this, like you mentioned, throughout the album, there's a number of songs on here and stories, songs on here that are about that connection point between the other world, you know, the Celtic other world and this world. And what happens, again, liminal, what happens when those two worlds meet? I just really loved the story, and it came through to me as this song, and I knew that I had to record it someday, and eventually, one day, was this album.
You know, a maiden fair when windswept night was walking across the shore. The stars shone in her raven hair, no wedding ring she wore. So this was a woman who was shunned, perhaps, or basically, a woman who was left standing at the altar, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's down by the shore to shed a tear alone when a ghostly knight on storm gray steed rode out upon the foam. And so, again, it's this idea of the king or knight from the ocean to take her home.
And that idea of what home means, you know, like what it is that she's searching for, what it is that she kind of, what she has to leave behind in order to kind of go into the waves. Of course, you know, there's a lot of different levels of what the ocean is. Like the ocean itself can be seen as an other world within certain, you know, Celtic mythological contexts. So that idea of sort of going into the waves, also psychologically, of sort of like going into oneself and sort of finding something out on the other side of loss and on the other side of despair, really, because clearly, like, the person in this is despairing of life itself. And, you know, what do we find on the other side of that that can welcome us home?
Mm-hmm.
walking across the shore. The stars shone in her raven hair, no wedding ring she wore. She had gone into the waves at night to shed her tears alone. When a ghostly knight on a storm-gray steed rode out upon the foam. Will you come with me, my pretty love? Will you ride out to the sea? To a castle of the deepest blue, where you will rule beside me. For a fair honor of true love, these waves have never known. And the tide shall be your bed of gold, where rivers find their home. Me, what treasure do you seek? My heart is broke by another love, no bride's bed will I keep. I wander o'er the ragged shore, as restless as the tides, and my dowry's but a wounded smile, and everything it hides. Will you come with me, my pretty love? Will you ride out to the sea? To a castle of the deepest blue, where you will rule beside me. For a fair honor, a true love, these waves have never known. And the tide shall be your bed of gold, where rivers find their home.
Yeah, again, part of this is just so also mysterious to me because when this song came to me, it just all came at once. And I just heard it and all the words were there and I wrote it down and it feels like I just sort of was the one holding a pen and that's about it. And that is that also it does have that feeling of flow of there's something about like a river reaching its destination that is, you know, we are each just trying to find that path, that river that is ours and that will take us where we're supposed to be. And when you are successfully able to follow that flow or be in that flow, then that's when you kind of find your home. That is that feeling of home that is at the root of this song of like, what does that mean to get there, to be finally told, yes, you are going in the right direction.
In this sense, it is mystical and magical how often these things will come to you almost full, and then you tinker with it a little bit, but it's only a little bit of tinkering that you do.
Yeah, you just try not to mess it up when you're doing that tinkering sometimes too, because it feels like it's really just about trying to find the way to get it out into the world the way it's supposed to be while not damaging it. Certainly with this song, there's a couple others tracks on this album that felt very much like just don't damage it. I oftentimes will say to people in other contexts, but you know, it's a lot of things I don't understand, and I'll just say like I just show up and do what I'm supposed to do. And in this case, it was sort of like, well, you were given this, write it down, record it, then you put it out in the world, and it is what it is for other people. And that's the power of it, is that it's not about what it is to me. It's about what that moment of hearing it is for somebody else. That's the reason why we do all these things. That's the reason we go on stage to play Tchaikovsky just as much as record an album.
And is it, are you sort of sitting quietly and it comes? Are you riding on the subway and it comes, or?
Kind of any of those. It's all different things. This one, I unfortunately can't remember exactly where I was when this one came to me. One of the other songs on the album, I do remember literally exactly where I was, and it did feel like someone just sort of singing into my ear and saying, "Here, do you have a pen?" And I was like, "Wait, give me a sec." But oftentimes it is something like that. But then there's other times where, as I mentioned earlier, I have a set that is not complete and I need a third tune to sit in between these two. And I sit there and go, well, it needs to be in B flat minor. And I want it to be approximately sort of like in this kind of feel because it's between these two things. And I will woodshed something and then something comes through. So it can be very intentional of like, nope, this has to be recorded and you need it by 20 minutes from now. There is a schedule and you will be on it. And then there's other times when it's totally out of the blue. And I think both are equally valid. Sometimes you're like, oh, you know, it should always just come to you like moonlight while you're staring at the horizon. It's like, no, both forms of inspiration are great and equally valid and powerful.
Well, and as you mentioned, you often will include other tunes within the work as sort of a musical bridge between the lyrics. And here you have in the middle of it, Where I Was Last Night, and written by Niall McLeod, sometime in the 19th century, you say.
So the Where I Was Last Night is a tune that I learned from Alistair, actually. And so there's a number of tunes. I can't remember exactly how many on this album, but there's a few on this album that I learned from Alistair Fraser. And so he's such a great Scottish fiddle player. Of course, you know, his style has influenced my learning a great deal because he was playing with Natalie when we were at Juilliard. And so I was listening to a lot of their work together, learning from his earlier albums, going and learning from him in person. So his style is really important to my playing as a fiddle player. And I, of course, wanted to have him play something on this. And because that was a tune that I learned from him, it's a beautiful thing to me that we were able to do that as a duet on this.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, this is actually the tune where he plays the harmony violin.
Yeah, I just sent him the track as it had been recorded so far. And that's the other thing with it's amazing. Like these days, you can just send something to someone and he knows my playing and I know his. And he has a lovely setup of a recording studio where he is in California. And he was just able to put his harmony line over what Natalie and I and Jan had already done. And there it was.
Well, and Natalie and Alistair do a lot of camps around the country. Have you ever gone to one of those?
I went to Valley of the Moon, which is their main one out in California, 1 year. And actually, one of the other tracks on this album, when I mentioned it, sort of like I remember exactly where it was, that's There Was an Old Man. That was something that came to me right after I had just been at their camp in Spain, Crisol de Cuerda, where I met a lot of just absolutely amazing Spanish musicians. So that whole Spanish Celtic influence is also very much a part of my playing. From people that I know and love and have played with, from getting to know Spanish fiddle musicians as well.
And getting into this rhythm of a song by you, and then into a set of Celtic and English music, is the next tune on the album, and that's the Oyster Wives set. And this features an English hornpipe, followed by a Scottish traditional song, followed by another Scottish traditional song from the Skye Collection. There's a couple, several songs on this from the Skye Collection. I also think of the Isle of Skye, having been there,
Yes.
and then, and the oyster. It ends with the Oyster Wives' Rant, which is a Scottish traditional song.
Thank you. Yeah, so the Sky Collection is a really important collection of tunes, which I love, and I've drawn a number of tunes just when I'm sort of, playing for sessions or playing with friends. I love the Sky tunes, and they're played a lot in Cape Breton music, and it's from 1887, that collection. So it has an enormous number of strathspeys and reels from a number of different fiddle players, and that a big part of like an influence on a number of different sets that I put together is from that. But then there's also the English traditional things. It's also really interesting because with fiddle music, you never know what you're going to find and where. Like the Slatelay Bridge Hornpipe, which is the English traditional tune that starts this, is found in a collection of tunes that I have a reprint of. I found it in some thrift store. I don't remember where I was. Again, being a musician, it's wonderful I travel so much. And every time I'm in a used bookstore, I always check to see if they have any old tune collection because you just don't know what you're going to find. And I found an old collection of English tunes in a used bookstore. And this tune was from that reprint of the Ledley collection. And that was originally published in 1847. So it's an amazing thing. And I'm not even sure if it's been recorded other places. There's a lot of tunes that, they're recorded once or they're found in tune collections and they're sadly forgotten. So when I put these things together, I oftentimes try to feature tunes that might be from collections that have been forgotten or lost in bookstores somewhere.
And so some of these are probably world premiere recordings.
Yes, I should have looked up again which ones are, because there actually are a few of them that have not been recorded before. Certainly the ones that are mine haven't been recorded before this, but there are even some of the older ones that I don't know of other recordings of. So it's a mix of ones that are very super well known, everybody plays them in sessions, and others that I found or was told about from somebody, or it was played on other instruments, but never really on fiddle. That's another thing. You'll find things that have sat in collections from other instruments, but haven't necessarily been played on the violin.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the Arts Southeast Sulphur Street Fair. The Sulphur Street Fair takes place on Friday, May 1st on 39th Street between Bull Street and DeSoto Avenue from 5 to 9 p.m. as part of Starland First Fridays, featuring local vendors, artists, food trucks, music, and more. Arts Southeast Sulphur Street Fair is the perfect way to celebrate art and the community in Savannah. For more information, visit artssoutheast.org. Performers for Social Justice Awareness will perform Eve Ensler's The Vagina Monologues at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah in Troop Square on May 2nd at 7 p.m. This production depicts interviews with women in monologue format featuring topics of violence, injustice, body image, and sexual liberation. Although some vignettes are presented with dark humor, this performance is not recommended for pre-adolescents due to its controversial content. Tickets are available at Eventbrite. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. And we are back with Joanna Farrar and talking about the album Liminal Paths. And the next tune on the album is also another original song with music and lyrics by Joanna Farrar. And although there is, in the middle, there's a tune, it's a waltz actually from Norway. And
Yes.
this introduced me to the Selkie. I have to admit, I was not familiar with the Selkie legends. I'm more familiar with the Kelpie legends of Scotland, but very interesting to learn about the Selkie legends as well. And so could you talk about this song, particularly in the concept of the stories that come from the Selkie legends?
Yeah, so the Selkie legends I loved since I was a very little girl. And in fact, one of the very first albums that I had that included Celtic music on it when I was little had a version of a Selkie song on it. And so I remember loving that story. And essentially what Selkies are, if you're not familiar, are that they are sort of like seal people. And a Selkie, the myths that surround the Selkies, they're usually female, though there are male Selkies in some myths. And they're usually women who, for one reason or another, they're in their seal form and they're either captured by a human fisherman or they're injured and found by a human. And when this usually is very kind human guy who then will take them back, heal them, realize that there's something different about them, and magically they transform into women. Of course, they fall in love. Usually they get married, and there's different stories of how this ends. The trick is, how does it end, of course? And all the different versions of Selkie myths have different takes on that. If you're familiar with like Little Mermaid and those types of tales, there's a lot of tragic ones. The number where it, of course, ends with her having to return to the sea because she is not meant to stay on land is generally the theme of the stories. And why that happens, it can either be because of betrayal, because the human does not trust her, or it can be simply like tragedy that happens. Sometimes there's a child that's involved. Sometimes she will give birth to a child and either the child will go with her to kind of like rejoin the seals, or they'll stay as humans. So those are all, there's so many different varieties, and there's beautiful poems that are based on this, so many different songs. This one came to me, and again, it was not something that I planned, but the version that came to me was this idea of the story of a Selkie woman who, I mean, being a fisherman on these rocky coastlines and in the depths of the sea is very dangerous. I mean, it's still dangerous to be a fisherman, to be out on the waves now, today, but it used to be even worse. And the idea of the amount of fear and the amount of the need for protection when you would go out onto the seas, I think is not something that a lot of times we think about as much anymore. And so what she does, what the Selkie does in the version that came to me, was that she's a magical creature to begin with. So she's singing charms in order to protect the fishermen. But eventually, you know, like there is still that break where she has to return to the waves. And so that's kind of like that theme of her attempting to protect. And then what protection can she actually have? She has to return.
In the lyric, you talk about Sul Skerry, which is a island at the very, very north tip of Scotland.
Yeah. And that's where there's a lot of stories about Selkies from those very remote areas. And I have sadly never been to Sul Skerry, but it came to me very strong. Again, I just kind of get these songs almost whole cloth and in the lines that I'm sure I'd heard of that place before, but that the idea of it being placed there, that that's where this story happened, was already kind of part and parcel with the lines that came through for me to write for it. I have been to some pretty remote areas of Scotland, but I have not yet made it as far as there. So I will have to wait.
Well, and when you think then, if you look out in the ocean off of Sul Skerry, the next thing you might see is Iceland. So it gives you a sense of what it's like up there. Constantly storms, constant threat of a variety of things. And so I can imagine when you discover a Selkie there, it is quite a discovery and changes your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, again, that sort of like theme of protection in a place that is a boundary, you know, because it is the boundary world of, again, the other world and this world, but also, you know, safety versus, you know, life and death boundaries as well, because that's what she is attempting to protect him from.
And again, this is a thought that he would take a bride, but she, no bride will be, and has to return to the sea. And I love the last of the stanzas. That evening no bride came home to his side. Out on the cliffs a white seal he spied. The wind sang her mourning, as in mourning. The wind sang her mourning. The moon was a warning. And for the last time she this to him cried, and then you go into the chorus.
Yeah, and the chorus itself, the charm that she sings is actually based on old charms that are found in Scottish folklore collections of things that would be chanted for protection. And so that idea of kind of like the last thing that she can do is once again chant this essentially like a spell to leave him with that protection, even though for many reasons she could not stay, she could at least try in her sadness to leave him with something that is beautiful and protective.
A fisher was out to mend his poor nets, out in the dark waves as the sun set. He came on a white seal, white wounded fair seal. His heart made him carry it home for to heal. Next day he awoke, and his eyes opened wide. Where lay in the seal, now a fair maiden sighed. She spoke in a strange voice, spoke in a rare voice, spoke in a lone voice, and this to him cried. No spear shall strike you, no sea shall drown you, no thief shall wile you, no man shall harm you. Charms I will sing for you, joys they will bring to you, sweet like the waters of Sooscary, sweet like the waters of Sooscary. They grew deep in love, and his heart opened wide. Offered his life, and would make her his bride. She sang like the wild girls, far flying high girls, sang like the lost hills, and this to him cried. No spear shall strike you, no sea shall drown you, no thief shall wile you, no man shall harm you. Charms I will sing for you, joys they will bring to you, sweet like the waters of Sooscary, sweet like the waters of Sooscary. Would she be sad? What's captured must flee. Promised she'd stay and ne'er stray out to sea. She kept still her sealskin, fair lily sealskin, kept the white sealskin, and this to him cried. No spear shall strike you, no sea shall drown you, no thief shall wile you, no man shall harm you. Charms I will sing for you, joys they will bring to you, sweet like the waters of Sooscary, sweet like the waters of Sooscary. grew and his mind filled with fear. Stories said no cell, he stayed past a year. The waves were a torrent, his mind was a torment. He tore a fair sealskin out by the sea. That evening no bride came home to his side. Out on the cliffs a white seal he spied. The wind sang a morning, the moon was a warning, and for the last time she this to him cried. No spear shall strike you, no sea shall drown you, no thief shall wile you, no man shall harm you. Charms you will sing for me, sleep you will bring to me, deep like the waters of Sooskerry, deep like the waters of Sooskerry.
And on this song, you add a harmonium and flute and harmony vocals.
Yes. So the harmonium and the harmony vocals on this, so all the vocals on the album are me, except for the harmony vocals on this track, and I think one other, and that is my very dear friend, Alana Lowe, who is a fantastic harmonium player. And I always knew when I was first hearing the song, it had to have like a drone underneath. And originally I just thought, oh, cello drone. I mean, cello drone is absolutely amazing. And there, that is also included. But then of course, my friend Alana plays harmonium and it has just such an incredibly haunting sound. And it really works beautifully for kind of layering underneath for that, the bass of something mysterious that is underneath all these different connection points between, you know, the ocean and the earth.
Then we're back to a set of tunes, Leaving the Shire. And really, this is my discovery of Joanna Ferrar, Leaving the Shire, because this was released as a single.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the first one that I put out when I just realized, well, I should really, you know, everyone had been telling me because I would play these things and sets and concerts. And this set was one that I put together many times and played on many recitals and concerts. So I just figured, well, let's record it. And the tune Leaving the Shire was one that I wrote during Crisol de Cuerda. So that came to me while I was actually with Alistair and Natalie in Spain. So that tune kind of originated from a time when I was with them in the woods, in the forests of Spain. And it's a very important track to me. It relates to my love of Lord of the Rings, actually. Leaving the Shire is referencing Sam's leaving of the Shire at the very beginning of the story. And that kind of like feeling of sometimes you have to venture out into the world. You have to go that one step further than you've ever gone before. And that's a really difficult thing to do.
Well, and of course, Lord of the Rings is a story about passing from one boundary after another boundary after another boundary. And so really is a natural fit with the concept of liminal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is about that kind of faith that we have in ourselves and then the faith that we put in the people that we travel with. You know, you don't, Sam doesn't leave alone. You know, there's all these other sort of very important people that he forms those bonds with. And that's kind of also part of that theme of like, we cross these liminal, we go on these liminal paths together. You know, we have others that we journey with.
And this includes your original song, Leaving the Shire, but also a Scottish traditional Strathspey, and was as well as a couple traditional Scottish reels, and the last of them is North of the Tay.
But yeah, those are great tunes that I really love. And again, I love the ability to blend something that is new, like the Leaving the Shire, obviously came from being in Spain a number of years ago. But then there's these other very traditional Scottish reels and strathspeys that have been around and played. Particularly, the bass reel is very well known, played in a lot of different sets. So variously like tunes that are known by everybody who plays Scottish music and those that are kind of a little unknown. And you blend these things together and they form their own new creations in the world.
Thank you.
Then we go into a original song again. There was an old man. And very end of this track, there's also a fiddle tune, which is written by you. It's original by you, called The Shapeshifter.
Yeah, so there was an old man. This is the one that came to me completely fully formed. I had basically, I almost feel like I had nothing to do with it. Because I even kind of heard the way that it was supposed to be set and just tried to eventually get that recorded, which Natalie, of course, is amazing. And we had no troubles getting that immediately to sound the way it should. But this is a story song, which is also based on another folk tale type, which is the, I think most people are mostly familiar with like Rip Van Winkle type stories, because time is another liminal thing. So we're all familiar with how time can flow differently based on, you know, how we're feeling. But when it comes to connections to the other world, that can flow very differently indeed. So there are stories of people sort of being taken into the mounds or into various like sacred places in the landscape, either kidnapped or they go willingly, either way. And then they return, they come back. But for them, it might be like an afternoon passed and it's actually been 100 years. So these ideas of like time dilation and things not moving at the same speed based on what's happened and their connections to the other world. And that's kind of what this song is involved. There Was an Old Man is pretty much a tragic story about someone realizing that their love, something has happened with time and they are not going to see them again because they seem to have been taken into one of these hollow hills. And sometimes these high points could be a place where you could go and receive inspiration. It could also be a very dangerous point where you might get taken and not returned. And that seems to be what has happened in this song.
Well, because the old man she meets says, he told me I'd weep, he told me I'd moan, he told me I'd die in the glen all alone. But then she retorts, I said, you old fool, I'm to marry today all the blessings of May. And, but he took a ring from his shimmering coat. 'Twas the ring of my love. And so the song ends where she, oh, how I have wept, oh, how I have moaned, and now I will die in the glen all alone.
So yeah, this is in the style of oftentimes very slow, tragic, slow airs, slow songs that are meant to give the story of lost love or something that has been irrevocably lost. And therefore there's this sense of just the keening, the sort of lost songs. And that's what this one is essentially, is just someone singing of their loss. And what has happened is, of course, you know, the person that they loved has been taken and will not return. And they have simply been able to tell her that that's what's happened. So I don't know, in a sense, is that better or worse for her to know? But either way, that is kind of the source of her woe and her despair. This is, again, one of those boundaries, like that liminal crossing into the other world does not result sometimes in a good thing. This results in loss and despair. And it's sometimes not a beautiful, happy thing to have those boundaries crossed, especially when they're dangerous places like hollow hills, which in folktales are quite dangerous places.
And this also includes the harmonium, which again, yes, provides that wonderful bass foundation to the song.
Oh, yeah. It has a very otherworldly sound just in and of itself. And it also, to me, these types of songs of mourning oftentimes have like an element of trance to them. Like you as a listener and the person who is kind of going through it by performing it are in an other state of mind. And that harmonium, I think, helps bring the listener into the sort of other state of this flat line of just experiencing that one emotion.
There was an old man I met in the glen. Although I never saw him again, his whose form it was strange. His eyes, they were white. Oh, how I wish I'd not the sight. There was an old man I met in the glen. He told me my fortune by leaves that had blown. Ollie, oh, how I wish I'd never known. He told me I'd weep. He told me I'd moan. He told me I'd die in the glen all alone. There was an old man I met in the glen. Ollie, oh, I never saw him again. I said, you old fool, I'm to marry today. Ollie, oh, all in the blessings of May. He took out a ring from his shimmering cloak. Ollie, oh, 'twas the ring of my love. There was an old man I met in the glen. Ollie, oh, I never saw him again.
And now I will die in the glen.
Tonight has been the second episode of Talking with Joanna Farrar. And as you know from our visits, Joanna Farrar is a concertmaster of the Savannah Philharmonic. But we've, in these last couple of programs, we've been talking about not her role in Mozart, Beethoven, and Brahms, and folk music in those settings, but rather folk fiddling Farrar. And we've been spending time listening to and talking about her album, Liminal Paths. And so I hope the Savannah audience has a new respect for the musical diversity that their concertmaster has. And so I want to thank you so very much, Joanna Farrar, for being on the show, multiple shows of mine.
Well, it is absolutely my pleasure. And I love speaking to you, and I love being here in Savannah and getting to play for all of our audiences. So the more I get to know everyone, the more I love it. So thank you for having me.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.